Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We're really excited to be working with Freetrade, who've sponsored this video.
Freetrade believes in commission-free investing for everyone. This means you won't pay any commission when investing your spare cash.
While other brokers charge up to £12 per trade, Freetrade doesn't, so you can keep more of your money. And where they do charge, like on FX, it's fair and transparent.
The design of the app makes it simple and easy to use, which is great for any experience level. From beginners starting to educate themselves on the benefits of investing to experts already in the know.
You can start investing from just £2, and they offer these things called fractional stocks. This basically means you can buy a small piece of expensive US companies like Google, Tesla and Apple.
With over 700,000 investors on board and having won the best online trading platform at the British Bank Awards 5 years running, they're an investment platform you can trust.
Now for the best bit, if you create and fund your account with just £50 using our link, you will get a free share worth between £10 and £100. That could be in anything from Ford to Spotify.
Remember, when you invest, your capital is at risk. The value of your portfolio can go up as well as down, and you may get back less than you put in. This is not financial advice. You should always do your own research on what investments are right for you before investing or seek the advice of a professional. Yo guys, welcome to The Last Lap.
Don't forget to drop a lovely, juicy 5-star rating if you're watching an Apple Podcast or Spotify.
Hope you enjoy and let's get into it.
Welcome back to The Last Lap Podcast, everyone. Thank you for joining us on audio only platforms, on YouTube, wherever you choose to consume us lot. On a Tuesday evening, Aaron.
Consume us however you like.
Love that Liverpool kit, by the way.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I felt retro today.
It's a nice one.
Love it.
I'm going back to the days when, you know, Liverpool were in major European competitions and not Europe.
moving on. Well, to be fair, Ferrari red, Liverpool red, disappointment red.
Yes, quite. Yeah. So, like, yeah. I felt very Scuderia today.
You did.
Very slow button on was how I was feeling. And, Charles Leclerc and Ferrari delivered the goods
to the wrong house.
Actually, the bads. Yeah, they delivered
to the wrong address.
Hermes settings. They were just like, oh man.
You know when they like toe punt it like through your window.
Yeah.
And you see someone's ring doorbell's picked it up, and it's
leave it in a bin outside.
That's the upgrades. That's how they're delivered to Maranello. Boys, facts. Pete Mahad, thank you very much for staying for the live stream as well and for the podcast.
Well, no worries. Thank you for having us back on. Another disastrous day for McLaren.
McLaren Fan TV representing
McLaren Fan TV.
Yeah, man.
Episodes every Tuesday, but yeah, turned the P3 into whatever that was.
It was looking so good. Like, what do you make of the incident? Obviously, Norris, Hamilton, contact out of the kind of first chicane, turn 1-2. What do you make of it?
I think it's just more of those one of those lap one incidences. Obviously, Sainz and Max were having their little shenanigans at the front, and then obviously Sainz backs up, brakes a little bit. There's a repeat effect with Lewis as well.
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
Bit of a wrong place, wrong
Norris,
time.
Norris's front end plate just gone. But
yeah.
Like, I was mentioning it on the live stream, like, our car is extremely brittle. Just like every time it skims anything, if it skims a wall, anything, it's just broken, it's completely done.
Yeah.
It's like it hasn't got any like robustness to it.
The Alpine can go to war.
Yeah.
The McLaren,
it can't. Yeah.
Even the Mercedes, like that front wing's strong, you know, every time I remember Hamilton having contact with anybody, it would be completely fine. But this car just melts away. Same as the Ferrari, just melts away. Any type of contact whatsoever. Yeah. But it's just one of those things, bad luck. And then that's the race over for Norris. And then Piastri had a bad start. And then just got swamped and then out of points as well. It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
You know, praying for rain didn't happen.
Yeah.
This is the problem, isn't it? It's like we create a car that's clearly good between the wet and dry, not necessarily for like a normal race weekend in Formula One. And we just want one normal day of racing where there's no issues.
One regular day.
How long has it been since McLaren have given you consistent, good, normal days?
I think the two days we've had normal this season, we finished double points. Yeah. Like that just kind of shows you what's at stake here. And as you said, the car is brittle and we can't be creating a car like this. B-spec car, we need it now.
When's it coming?
Silverstone. We said between Austria and Silverstone. Silverstone. So it has to be Silverstone, right? They're not going to introduce it on a sprint weekend.
What's the realistic expectations from that though?
That is a completely different car to the one that we've got at the moment, because this car is just, the performance window is so narrow to the point where it's weather-dependent car. You can't have a weather-dependent car.
Aston Martin brought the perfect B-spec because they went from, even at the end of last season, they were still, I think, slightly slower than Alpine and McLaren.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they leapfrogged to second quickest with one big upgrade.
Yeah.
So like, you know that, it wasn't like gradual upgrades. It came in one big hit and they hit the ground running. Obviously, they had testing at Bahrain to get on top of the package and then they've been second quickest car for most races, this one excluded, to be honest.
So in the same vein as how Aston Martin did it, what's happening at McLaren is this B-spec car is basically the base of the direction we're going to go in for moving forward. And it's kind of a move away from what James Key's design was previously over to Pete Prod and having that kind of his control of the design moving forward. And then obviously we've got David Sanchez coming in. We've got a new Rob Marshall as well. This is going to be a change of direction. I wouldn't expect immediate results straight away, but we have to kind of move away from whatever we've got at the moment that we've been rolling with from the beginning of 2022 to now. If that concept's not worked, you just have to scrap it and move forward with something else. And this is going to be the start of another path where you could possibly see a huge jump.
Which is kind of what Mercedes are saying at the minute about their new side pods and floor and all that. It's setting the foundations for like a long-term direction. But do you think that, you know, with the Aston Martin Honda news, you know, Honda were, there was conversations with McLaren as well. Obviously, they've got this works deal. McLaren, you're still a customer team to Mercedes. Like, do you believe this whole like assertion that you can't fight for a championship if you're a customer?
I believe it. I'm one of those people. I know there's other McLaren fans that are not, but I'm very much like, this is extremely worrying to be in a...
Because the options are... We're losing options now.
Of course, we've got very limited, isn't it? Yeah,
and it's one of those situations where I wouldn't be so worried if it was just four factory teams, and then the rest were the fact that Aston Martin has now got a Honda deal. We've got Audi in there as well.
Yep.
That means there's what, six teams that are factory teams, and one of them ain't McLaren. That's a problem.
Yeah,
because especially because there's an engine change in 2026, it might. Some teams, I'm not going to say 100% you're going to succeed if you've got an engine. We've seen that with McLaren. We've had an exclusive engine deal with Honda. It did not work, right? And invariably, some of these other teams that have got these engine deals in 2026, it's not going to work for them, right? So is the best bet to say, oh, let's get to 2026, see you've got the best engine, be their customer? Maybe they're just hedging their bets that way, or maybe they're maybe thinking about another direction, maybe waiting on what Andretti is going to be bringing in if they do come into Formula One, if they do get accepted in and coming
even
in
with, they were going to run Renault engine.
They were going to run a Renault engine, right?
So at least in the short term.
It's looking like, and for me now, it's looking like they're going to be a customer. But it's really about, do they make the right selection in terms of engine, right?
How do you feel about it, Pete?
And that's the thing. I don't mind us being a customer at this moment in time, because who knows, Mercedes might be the team that actually get this right as soon as 2026 comes in. What if they're the best engine supplier on the grid? You'd rather be with Mercedes than try, maybe let's say, hedge our bets with anybody else.
That's new especially.
And if you're new, so, you know, your Audis and so on, I'm a bit like, you know, pinch of salt, let's see how well they do, in the new regulations. But for me, I think, you know, McLaren has worked well when it's been second to Mercedes. And even then, it's still, the engine is fine. It's just, McLaren need to sort out other bits. There's other pieces that are more prominent than the engine itself. And the engine is not that bad.
I would say that right now, it feels like there's not too much differential in performance between engines. So from what I understand, yeah, speaking to people like more intelligent than me, you understand like what the actual breakdown.
Aerodynamics, isn't
like, yeah, like the actual engine isn't making the difference. Like you look at the AlphaTauri, that's running the Red Bull powertrain.
Sure.
And that's right towards the back where the Williams is, and you've got like the Ferrari's quick, even like the Renault. I mean, maybe Alpine have a terrible chassis and actually they've got the best engine.
It feels like this is the least difference there's been in terms of like different engine supplies, I'd say, since the turbo hybrid era.
I guess Aston Martin are using a Mercedes engine.
That's the one thing I will say in terms of like being a customer team. Obviously, there is a slight disadvantage in the sense that you can't just have that massive burst away from anyone. But if you choose the right engine supplier to be a customer to, you're calm, like realistically.
And McLaren hasn't committed to anybody in 2026.
Yeah.
The deal with Mercedes ends, then they're quite free to pick whoever they feel is the best engine at that time. The problem with McLaren, and we've seen this in the new regs, is that they're just really deficient when it comes to the aero. And a lot of the time, I think it all goes back to the cost cap and then cutting a lot of staff. And then obviously you want to cut the fat and not the muscle, and they've cut the muscle as well. So therefore there's been a whole progress of getting staff back and hiring people, because it's all well and good having a wind tunnel and having all the facilities and so on, but you need the staff, right?
Yeah.
So these moves are positive moves to make sure that the team is not lacking in terms of aero efficiency.
Well, you're getting on a bit of a poaching spree.
Yeah.
Like, is that what you've... So you've got David Sanchez coming at the end of this year from Ferrari. You've got now, is it Rob Marshall?
Rob Marshall.
Coming from Red Bull.
Red Bull. And then Sanchez, who came from Ferrari.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. So as much as you're right, you know, the facilities weren't there to begin with, and also the personnel we had to re-up again. I think when Stella became like the team principal at McLaren, one of the things that were quite very clear was the side I need to look at is sort of, you know, the engineering side, the aerodynamic side. I need to make sure that this is in place. And the reason why James Key and the like were not there at the launch, for example, it clearly Zach and Andrea were having conversations. Mm. They were having these conversations from early, knowing that we may have to scrap this car sooner rather than later. And I'm trusting the decision making from Zach. Yeah, I'm trusting the process. As you well know, I'm getting used to this. Yeah, getting used to this. But I think, the engine thing is quick. When the Aston Martin news came out about Honda, it was very easy to sort of be like panic. But at the same time, it's like, we're running our own little lane here. Aston Martin were here once upon a time when they were getting the right people in the right place. They were sorting out their facilities as well. Now they've kind of got all of those things in place and off they've gone to the races type of thing. And I think McLaren is a matter of time. We just have to now be very, very careful with the moves we made. But I think since the start of the year, I think McLaren have been very, very smart. And I think, you know, happy that Seidel and Seidel's kind of sort of started this off when he was moving to Sauber to Alfa Romeo. It kind of made us, you know, buck up our ideas a bit quicker and put things in place. So I'm not necessarily worried at all. As a McLaren fan, you shouldn't be too, too worried.
Yeah, I think everything now, the reason the McLaren is bad, all the reasons and people that were associated with that are no longer there.
Yeah.
Right. So all the stuff around obviously Seidel and James Key building that car for 2022 and not really doing too well with it, and then building this car, because obviously he built this year's car last year. That's been trimmed off. That's gone. Obviously Seidel got his promotion at Sauber and so on, but obviously, no blames going to these guys. Key and Seidel.
And
Seidel is more like, oh, let's shout at Zach rather than shout out at those two are no longer there.
Yeah.
Right. And the first thing that Andrea Stella said when he came, that one of the first interviews, he said, oh, I need to look at the aero side and sort this car out.
Yeah.
I need to look at the factory. So I'm not happy with the kind of what's going on over there.
Yeah.
So the foundations are being set.
Well, look, because you need the right people. And look, we're talking about this just before. Yeah. We went live, like Red Bull, you've got McCulloch from Red Bull. Like, do we think there's somewhat, because you there was a quote, wasn't there, from Helmut Marko?
Yeah. And he was basically saying like, you know, it's almost like the budget cap or whatever is sort of being the reason now that they're losing staff, because Red Bull are getting pulled apart a little bit.
Like, why are people leaving Red Bull? And it's almost like once you get to the top, and we saw this a bit with Mercedes, like Eric Blandin, who moved to Aston Martin,
you
know, big signing, like staff you know, once you get to the top, I imagine if you're a member of staff, right, and you've worked at Red Bull for years, and you've always been the underdog catching up, and Christian's instilled this kind of underdog mentality.
Yeah.
And we talked about this like during the stream as well. Like you can have a big budget, but it's a people game. Mm-hmm. If you get the right people with a lower budget, they will achieve more than the wrong people with a big budget. I think mm-hmm. 2008, you spent like 600 million a year. And
didn't do anything.
Like,
it's terrible.
So it's like, I think this is now a challenge for Red Bull. And this is part of what was so impressive with Mercedes staying on top for so long.
Yeah.
When you're at the top, then it's like, what's next for these? Like, what's next for not just drivers?
Yeah.
Because some drivers get to the top and they want to challenge. Well, they want to build up a different team, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's the thing, is that same mentality is still going to be there for people who work in the sport. If you know, there are going to be people who are at Red Bull now who are, you know, see maybe a third season in a row where they're going to win the championship, or like an era of dominance is going to continue, and think, oh, I want to be part of a different project.
Yeah.
And on top of the fact that this pay situation, like you said, I think.
Yes,
is,
what you meant by that.
So the conversation was basically around, you know, the today's budget, you know, the top three sort of personnel, best paid personnel, do not fall under this budget.
And Helmut,
they're excluded from the cap. So Helmut was saying, look, teams are offering double the wages that we are offering our own staff. And then he was quoting to saying, indeed, it's a problem. Above all sums that are offered, sometimes they may get double than what we pay them. So he's kind of put it down to the fact that there's not enough money to pay for these Rob Marshalls and so on.
Because they're not top three, maybe, because staff members for Red Bull. They are for someone else.
But they could afford it. If other teams can afford it, they can afford it, because most of those wages are come out of the budget cap.
Yeah, but it's just
Red Bull don't manage to spend.
It is, but I think it's because Red Bull have so many top employees.
Yeah.
It's almost like, it's like, you know, when like racing championships, they take away like your three worst results at the end of the season and you lose those points. It's almost kind of like that with Red Bull, but the opposite way around. If you have like loads of staff members that are amazing, you can only use that top three spot where there's like unlimited funds for a few people. So you can't do it for everyone.
So see it like, if Red Bull got their top three and they're excluded from the cost cap, your fourth best guy can get offered double wages because he will be included in somebody else's top three. It's excluded from budget cap.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, that's how people can poach your staff in that way. So Rob Marshall is probably excluded from McLaren's budget cap. They'll probably hire him as a top three.
Yeah.
Within their staff. And then
if you can identify someone as really important and key, that's better than anyone that you have, but isn't in the top three of someone else's.
And I guess the justification to someone like McLaren is like, yeah, we're spending lots of money out of our budget cap, potentially, maybe not, but potentially at your budget cap to hire someone. And then you're taking them away from rival.
A weakening.
And it's a people game. It's all a people game. Like you can have, Force India did it for years, massively overachieved based on the budget that they had. I mean, there was times, again, when Red Bull first bought Toro Rosso, they were running two teams at less than half the price of like Sauber, BMW.
Yeah, imagine.
For two teams.
Yeah.
And achieved like what Toro Rosso and Red Bull were like right behind Sauber in the constructors. So
I just think McLaren's approach in the last, since 2012, is to throw money at things.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been any rhyme or reason with the strategy around how they approach it. And now there is a type of reasoning behind it. Okay, look, we've invested in infrastructure. We're getting the right people in to make sure that we've got the right car instead of just throwing 800 million.
There was a year.
A Honda deal.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. There was a year when it was our worst season in like 20 years or so. And we threw the most money that year, more than any other team. And we finished P9.
It's kind of like desperation, isn't it?
In the constructors. Yeah, absolutely.
You think you just throw money at a problem, like you've not got the foundations in place.
Yeah.
So it's just like, okay, just chuck money at what we're doing already. And obviously that doesn't work.
Yeah,
exactly.
It took them a while to get to that realization, but it's not really working to move forward.
And these teams are operating at such a high level, all of them now. Like pretty much they're all at the budget cap now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Aston Martin, look at what they've shown us in the last couple of years. They've been putting the pieces, and the results didn't come yet, but it was almost like once we've dealt with the pieces we need to add, the results will take care of itself. And now they're P2. In the construction, well, I
think,
are they P2 still?
No, P3 now.
Is it P3 now? But as in, you know, how can we even have a conversation about them being in 2 and 3?
Yeah,
when they were 6 and 7 last year,
and then this time last year they were horrible.
They were awful last year.
Well, look, I mean, so I wanted to talk about this because you know that was Force India was Racing Point, and now Aston Martin, and they've just moved into their new gaff. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Talked about for a long time. And they put their old gaff up for, they're auctioning it.
Auctioning it. Old stuff.
Yeah. And there's some pretty, I've just got it up on my phone.
Doing a car boot sale.
Yeah, man. So you could buy the marble reception desk, imagine your dream home bar at the back of the garden.
Yeah.
Like the bar.
But that is like the only use for that.
It's very
if you think about
have
it.
Have reception and you live front door, near your front door.
Yeah, that look good in the toilet, actually. That look good in your bathroom. It obviously, you can't
bathroom is bigger than a reception.
Buying this kind of stuff have got money.
Okay, that is true.
Just type in Aston Martin NCM auctions, it's on. And the auctions are live for 8 more days. I was thinking of trying to buy something, but most of it's just
is the sign still available?
Because they have gas compressors.
They have the systems.
Who wants that?
Yeah, go on then. Look, it's a galvanized air receiver tank. Oh yeah, I really want that.
Galvanized air receiver. That's not
a servo test hydraulic pump. This isn't glamorous stuff. They're shifting most of it anyway.
Where are they selling it?
Just some auction site online.
Just auction. Everybody get on there. Everybody
Mitsubishi inverter condenser.
Wow.
I mean, I like an Evo.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah, it doesn't look like the usual car.
Gunter Steiner's just on there bidding?
Facts. Definitely. Facts.
I need that.
He's bidding half price, hoping that he gets it as well.
He's good. So you got picnic table. Send a picnic table. Right. That's a bit down bad, isn't it?
I don't know.
Has it got the logo?
Yeah, I was going to say, is the logo there? No.
But you can buy it.
It's just a big
last rollster here. Oh my god!
No.
You could buy a flag pole, and it starting opening bids £20. Flag pole with Spanish flag, and a flag pole with a Canadian flag.
Huh.
So £20, we could get the flags in here. I mean, that's the starting bid. No one's bid yet on that one.
I know Drake's buying that pole with the flag. I know he wants it.
That's all right, no native. I'm just and also they had the best one is the guest bathroom, which I don't know how you sell a bathroom.
Huh.
An entire bathroom.
I guess, can go.
It's a bit rank though. Is it office bathroom? Like everybody's been using this?
No, but it's orange and green still. So it's really old.
It's the Force India.
They even painted the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know what it is? I know what you're about to say. You can buy a whole bathroom for IKEA if you want.
Yeah.
But that is a used bathroom. Force India days.
That's the thing. It's not even
2012, 2011.
A pink Racing Point colour, nothing. It's the Force India.
Force India.
That toilet's been used.
That's
DJ Malley and them guys.
That bathroom has seen some things, bro. Don't buy that. Don't cop that.
Nah, do you know what?
That's a once in a lifetime purchase, isn't it?
But where are you going to put a Force India bathroom? It's a whole bathroom. You can't put a bathroom in the bathroom, bro.
Yeah, because it's a specific size as well. Your room needs to be exactly size to fit that exact bathroom in it.
I'm just trying to think of explaining it to the missus that we're going to bring in a Force India bathroom.
What Checo's ass was on that seat.
Yeah.
So
just understand that Paul DiResta sat on.
Blake probably, friend of the show, Blake, I bet you sat on the toilet.
Blake's bidding already.
Taking long lunch Blake breaks on the back. Toilet.
Yeah. That was my staff toilet when I was there.
Yeah. I tweeted off that toilet.
Playing a bit of Flappy Bird.
I started my YouTube back channel.
The sign's not available, is it? There was a front post sign that they had outside.
Yeah, the entrance.
Yeah, the entrance.
Is that not available?
I don't know. I'm checking. I'd standardly get that.
Yeah, it's massive. Put it in front
I mean, somewhere. I'd put it somewhere.
In the garden.
Yeah, that's going man cave.
Doing your delivery order.
So it's a man cave.
Aston Martin sign. Yeah. Delivery order.
Do you have an Aston Martin? No.
It just goes to show, I don't think anyone, no one foresaw the step up from Aston Martin this early. You know, you can drink the Kool-Aid about Aston Martin getting to the top with this new facility eventually. They're not even moved in yet and they're already over the course of the whole season, they've been second quickest car.
Yeah.
Not today for sure, but all in all, if Stroll was as close to Fernando as George is to Lewis, then they're P2 in the constructors, aren't they?
And to your point, they were not even as good as Racing Point when Aston Martin kind of came. Do you remember? They took steps back. Racing Point was the sort of P3, P4 team in the constructors. And then when Aston Martin came, they've then gone really, they went really back. So to see them jump leaps and bounds that they have. We're hoping, that's what we're hoping that B-spec car is for McLaren.
It's like, I was going to say, that must give you hope, you know, right?
No.
Because it's proven it can be done.
It shows that in Formula One, progress isn't linear. Oh, you go from 6 1 year to 5th to 4th.
Yeah.
It's just really about scenario, getting it in the right place. And now we're seeing the effects of the wind tunnel time and the kind of weighting of that. Because last year, Aston Martin must have had loads to work on for this year's car.
100%.
Yeah.
Because of how low they were in the standings, especially in the first half of 2022.
They've still got it till the end of this month.
So they're really taking advantage of that. And we're going to probably see other teams taking advantage of that as well. Because the amount of time they've got. And if you've got the resources combined with that, which Aston Martin does have, in terms of the financial clout as well, and getting all those people in there, they're really taking advantage of it. So for the teams that are traditionally more towards the front of the grid, they must be worried.
They're only
that these guys are poaching your stuff and they've got more time in the wind tunnel than them.
Yeah.
The only thing I'd say if you're an Aston Martin fan is to be worried about is your driver. Because, okay, Alonso's there, right? And who knows how long he'll remain in the team. But the elephant in the room is and will always be Lance Stroll, because if all the pieces are right at Aston Martin, which we believe it to be, and if not, they're heading in the right direction, what's the one thing that's going to stop them from winning championships, constructor or driver?
Well, this is the thing, because when does Stroll become a problem for the ambitions of that team? Now
it's fine.
Fine, and teams internally like to win constructors' titles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big morale thing. Mercedes would celebrate the constructors just the as much as the drivers' titles.
Yeah.
The money's good, which helps. But it's constructors where it really hurts them.
Yeah.
Drivers-wise, if anything, it's in some ways, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because then you've got a clear one too.
Sure, yeah.
So you don't have to worry about that politics.
Yeah.
And Alonso didn't push Stroll today. He could have gone for the overtake and he's playing the long game. He wants to stay on the good side of the people he needs to stay on the good side of, which is smart, right? He needs to do that. But I guess for me, it's driver's title that people remember. 2008, no one cares Ferrari won the constructors. It's all about Lewis winning, especially because of the story of how it happened, of course. But do you think that... Do you think, what does Lawrence do? Does he get rid of his son and potentially win a constructors, or does he keep his son and potentially not win a constructors, but have just as good, if not a better shot at the drivers? I think he keeps Lawrence in that seat.
Christmas dinner is going to be crazy.
And Fernando is going to be there as well.
You fired me, Dad.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not passing you the gravy at all. Do you know what it is though? What's the reason Lawrence Stroll bought the team?
There you go.
You have to think, always going back.
To win a championship. A driver
with his
championship for his son.
Yeah.
I think if his son is taking that equation, what's his interest there? Because in Formula One, it's a money loss. As a businessman, it's a kind of like, obviously it's for advertisement and so on, but if he's a businessman, it's a kind of money pit.
The thing is, he could have, because he bankrolled he bought Williams basically a wind tunnel. To get Stroll in the first place at Williams. He didn't need to, because he bought Aston Martin. He doesn't just own the F1 team.
Mm-hmm. He bought the company.
Not on his own, part of a wider group. So he's a big shareholder in both the racing team and the car maker. It's like McLaren. Mm-hmm. You make road cars and you have an F1 team, you have a racing team. So there's a distinct difference there. And obviously him putting the Aston Martin brand on the F1 team that he wanted to buy, he'd been trying to buy a team for a while. Yeah. And then the opportunity presented itself with, Force India out, going up Swanee with Malu in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's to win his son a title?
It has to be.
Or is it just to get him in F1? Because, Stroll's not good enough to win a title.
Unless
he's got a massive car advantage. That's not controversial to say, come on.
If Stroll, for example, lost interest. Let's say Stroll said, I don't want to be an F1 anymore. I want to go do IndyCar, whatever. He's going to sell the Formula One team.
No, but surely he's more invested now because he owns Aston Martin.
He'll go buy an IndyCar team.
I think that's a good point when he was at Williams, but now he wants Aston Martin to be, he's invested millions and millions in Aston Martin. And so having them succeed in Formula One is not, it's not just about his son now. That's what I'm saying.
We'll see.
Because at Williams, it wasn't a business decision. It was purely a personal, losing money to get Lance an opportunity.
Yeah.
But now it's a business decision that will be seen on his legacy. Like he's a business winner. Like that's how he's like, but you can see it.
If it gets to the opportunity where, let's say, for example, titles there, they've got a fast car, let's say like a Red Bull.
Yeah.
And then it's Alonso versus Stroll. He's going to want his son to win over Alonso.
Well, of course he'd prefer it, yeah.
He'd prefer it, but he may...
But I think he'll sabotage, yeah?
Put you some mechanics... No, kind of like...
Yeah, yeah.
Give him the good mechanics to Stroll, you know, try to favour it that way. I feel like his motivation is for his son.
It's a different one, isn't it?
I feel like this isn't a business decision because for Formula One is not like I can make loads of money if I buy a Formula One team.
Yeah.
It's more of a kind of like marketing tool. That's what a lot of these companies get into, to sell their road cars, right? Yeah. He's probably selling a lot of Aston Martins because they own Aston Martin. And if Aston Martin do better, he can make money.
This is why.
But he's losing money in Formula One by investing in these things.
Yeah. I'm understanding the situation now. Okay. Fernando Alonso has come into that team and realized what he's up against.
Exactly.
If he ends up in a title-winning situation, Lance Stroll is going to end up getting favourable mechanics, this and that, whatever, because Lawrence owns the team. If Fernando acts like Lance's dad, maybe Lance will choose Fernando over his own dad.
You're my new father.
You're my new dad. You're part of family. My Spanish daddy.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Alonso behave like this? Because he's aware of the environment he's in.
It is crazy, isn't it?
And I reckon the environment is obviously not the probably mechanics or stuff like that. I'm talking about the upper where Lawrence Stroll is. And you've seen on Drive to Survive how he commands a room.
Yeah.
It's probably favoured towards Lance. And he's has to tiptoe around that situation.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall in some of these conversations, man. There's such an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I genuinely think Lawrence is going to drop the ball with this because I think he's going to go more pro-son than anything else. Especially because...
Pro-son.
Yeah. Well, as in like...
Pro-blood.
As in, yeah. And, you know, son, listen, like, you know, circumstances can change. Like, you know, your expectations can change over the course of a season or over your course of your... Because, you know, when he was at Williams, as you mentioned, I don't think he foresaw where he is now. Mm. As much as that was the ambition, it's the fact that it's actually come now and it's at this quick stage. He would be ludicrous, but I think he is ludicrous. I think he will literally, the ball is there for them to pick it up and win, but will favour Lance over Fernando. And Fernando, to be fair, I don't know, like, will he hang around by 26 or whenever it may be, 27, 25, you know, will he be there is another question. We will learn more about Lawrence when he has to make the next driver decision. You will learn a lot more about him then.
But like Lawrence is clearly instilling a belief in Alonso right now that Alonso, if the opportunity presents itself, Alonso will be allowed to fight for that opportunity, at least in even machinery, because he doesn't see Lance as a threat at all.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's part of the way he's been articulating himself. He can, because he knows like he can play the long game today. He doesn't have to, you know, fight tooth and nail for 2 points where last year we had Max.
Yeah.
Like, outwardly, you know, disregarding the team and like creating a situation for the sake of 2 points.
Yeah.
Alonso was like, I'm fine. I'm just going to wave to the fans on the last lap and drive one-handed around the final set. So like it was.
But like you said, if Aston Martin do win, if Alonso does win a title, that's still, everybody cares about the driver's title, right? So it still gives them the advertisement they need to sell Aston Martin cars.
Yeah, we were saying earlier, right? 2013. Yeah. You said you didn't even watch that second half of the season at the end because Vettel was just checked out. But it wasn't like Webber was second every race.
Yeah.
Like in the right hands of the right
driver. Yeah, you still win constructors as well.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can have such advantage with the car at the front. Like Aston Martin, the fact they were still ahead of Mercedes before this race.
I think, do you know what it is? Yeah, I think with Lawrence Stroll, he's made the decision now that I'm all in terms of the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at the amount of money they spent on the infrastructure, this new factory they've moved into and so on. Clearly he's in it for at least till like 2027, 2028.
Yeah. His thing could be...
And obviously those type of things increases the value of the team. So when he does need to sell it, he makes some money out.
Yeah. And bear in mind, there is like it's not just Lawrence at the top. Yeah, there is a board of some kind. Mm-hmm. And so...
But he's increasing the value for stakeholders.
He's a figure, like... You see him walk through the paddock, like he cuts a figure.
Yeah, yeah, oh, for sure, yeah.
Like he's got ways of getting his way.
I think all the talk about, oh, they might have to drop Stroll, that's premature. That's never going to happen.
I agree.
No, he will never,
ever going
to happen. I don't think he'll ever drop Stroll, but that will be to his detriment. And the thing is,
another son.
He's using, yeah, like when they dropped Perez,
secret new better son. Than
you know, like when they
dropped Lannan Stroll.
You know, like when they dropped Perez at the end of 2020 to get Sebastian Vettel in, and it was like, I need to lift the profile of this team and bring him to a certain point. And once he's got them there, hence Alonso as well, when Sebastian decided to leave, I think literally is what he's going to like. Be like, thank you very much, everybody. Thank you for all bringing us to this level. Now my son takes over again. That's why I don't think they'll win a championship, because of that situation right there.
Mm. Them dropping Perez, that's your indicator right there.
That's true. That did speak
volumes, didn't it?
Of what their decision making is.
Considering how bad a season Vettel just had and how amazing a season Checo just had. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were just like, no, we need to get rid of Perez. Even though Perez before.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit YahooFinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.
One better than Stroll.
Arguably driver of the year.
Well, yeah, because that culminated in the win at Bahrain as well, right?
And we saw the season Vettel had in 2020. Yeah. It was horrible, and he still signed him over Perez.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, it's a political game, isn't it?
It's a political game.
But it's just like there's extra levels of that. In this instance,
I don't think Formula One is a meritocracy in that way that people feel like, oh, he deserves that seat or he earned that seat that way. That's not in the decision making.
Yeah.
A lot of the times when people sign drivers, it's not about the performance they did the year before.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about, oh, does it fit my idea of what I want to be doing in the future?
Yeah. Well, look, at the end of the day, like this has just been round 7 now of this year. So we're kind of about a third of the way in 20 races.
Yeah, roughly.
So wanted to have a little reflect. What we're going to do, I want each of us to have our like top three drivers in mind. Top three, I guess, bottles, most disappointing, worst drives, right? Yeah. Obviously, it's all relative depending on your car, right? But before we did that, I wanted to just remind everyone of the quali head-to-heads. Because I think obviously quali pace it's the most pure form of direct pace comparison.
Yeah, because someone might retire in a race, get taken out, it might not be their fault, whatever. But in terms of qualifying, usually it's pretty much
spot on.
Yeah,
exactly.
In terms of the split.
So to be fair, compared to a lot of seasons, because I've always followed it on Twitter, I always do like a running.
Yeah.
And it's been a little bit more, I'll show you lads so you can see. So the only whitewash so far has been Albon on Sargeant.
Fair enough.
Expected.
Yeah.
But to be fair, Sargeant did go quicker in Saudi, but went over the line,
blah, blah, blah.
So there's kind of 6-1. And then Alonso, Stroll, Norris, Piastri is 6-1.
They're very close to each other. Mm. Talking about within a tenth.
Which is, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, Norris and Piastri are quite close, but it's still 6-1.
Yeah.
Alonso and Stroll's quite a big gap, but that's 6-1 as well.
Yeah.
And then Tsunoda, De Vries, Hulkenberg, Magnussen, Verstappen, Perez are all 5-2. And then Russell, Hamilton, Leclerc, Sainz, Ocon, Gasly, Bottas, Joe are all 4-3, so they're quite even. Mm. I mean, based off what we've seen so far, what names are coming to? I know one name that you have.
Yeah.
But I feel like he might be your number one. He might be your number one.
Let's
maybe start with our number threes.
Who you got as a three?
Most
disappointing.
Top three most disappointing.
Top three most disappointing.
Okay, I'm going to say Logan Sargeant. Like, he's not really lived up to the expectation. Now, obviously, he had quite a lot of pace in F2.
Yeah, Bahrain was good.
Bahrain, he was good. Saw that in person. He was really good, honestly. Yeah. But I feel like he's just trying to get to grips with it and it's not really happening, especially like his tired leg is falling off a cliff compared to Albon. Maybe just Albon's experience is shining over him a little bit.
Yeah.
But I do believe he'll get better. But for now, like for people that haven't seen Logan Sargeant before, it's not looking particularly good.
That's actually a good point. That's the problem. If you're someone who doesn't watch F2, seeing him come in and go, man,
what's going on?
Yeah, he's a bit average still. Like he was about 20 odd seconds off Albon at the end of the race just then. Similar last week, probably even more potentially last week. There's been some pretty mad gaps at the end of races. Again, tire deck is a big thing. I think he's been struggling with the tires a little bit. He's made quite a few mistakes in terms of going off, but he's a rookie and pushing the boundaries. So you kind of expect that from him. But I think I'd be more concerned if I was Logan looking at the actual classification at the end of a weekend and going, shit, I am 25 seconds.
The gaps have been big.
That's mad.
I put him third because obviously he's a rookie. I don't want to be too harsh.
Yeah, fact.
You know, I want to give him at least half a season to kind of bed in. If he's still doing this type of stuff near like Brazil AD, then we might have an issue.
Has anyone else got Sargeant in their three?
I haven't.
No, I
don't. He's up there. He's sniffing around the podium, but he's not on it.
Like, he's not on the podium.
He's in the battle, though. Well, I don't know who I would put number three, to be fair.
Pete?
My third is going to be Nyck de Vries, because I expected so much more from him this season. I don't know whether... Is he a rookie this season?
No.
Nah. What are we saying?
I'm not calling him a rookie.
No, because he doesn't want to be called a rookie. So if he doesn't want to be called a rookie, then I'm not giving you the benefit of the doubt in that situation.
He's a big man.
He is. He's like 28.
He is a big man. Yeah, he's a big man. But like, you know...
He's a big man. He's older than a lot of drivers. He's got more driving experience than a lot of drivers on the
track. Facts. Yeah, he's had on my life, he's probably had his license for like 9 years. Logan Sargeant's had his for like three.
He's
like
2.5 years older than Charles Leclerc.
Older than Charles. Yeah. See, the thing is, like, okay, so he came in Monza in that Williams, got points, and there's so many caveats with that weekend and that result, because we could argue Albon would have got the points too had he been in that Williams in Monza.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't know which car performs better, the AlphaTauri or the Williams. I don't really know which is the better.
Monza, it's definitely the Williams.
Well, yeah, and what I'm saying is overall.
Smooth floor, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That bold floor.
Nothing to slow it down.
Yeah. So, like, you almost want. I look at De Vries as a rookie this year, personally speaking, because he had only one race, and it's a bit like, you know what? He hasn't done a full season. I can't really judge him too tough. So I'm putting him there just so that I'm saying, look, I'm still disappointed with him because he's not even sniffing points. He has no points this season alongside...
He's not even close.
Alongside, he's not near it either. So
I'm putting him as the worst.
Is he your number one?
You're putting him number one?
Yeah, wow.
He's not the F1 quality right now. I expected high off him, but Yuki's manhandling him. He's absolutely manhandling him.
Yeah, no.
And that's not something that you would... associate Yuki Tsunoda.
Well, again, because Yuki hasn't built that stock yet. As much as we're all Yuki lovers, like we believe in, he's not proven. Yeah. Like it's been difficult because he's, you know, Gasly, you know, violated him first year. It was much closer second year, and he is somewhat Canada.
Yeah, he's last year, but
Yuki's fighting for his life. There's a difference because Yuki was probably the most under pressure driver before any cars touched the track this season.
Yeah.
He was probably the one that you thought, if he doesn't have a good season or have a season that's worthy of note, he will be the one in trouble. He'll be the one losing his seat.
There's 14 Red Bull juniors ready to take
his spot. Yeah. Exactly.
Which hasn't always been the case. Again, when like Albon and Kvyat got in that.
There was no one. Yeah.
That's because they had like so few options. So
when you're fighting against a guy who's got his life on the line versus I would call a rookie, even though he is 28 years of age, and has driven a F1 car before. I still think like the reason I think we're seeing Yuki dunking on De Vries is because I think Yuki is going all the way. He's at his limit. Mm. He's at his limit at this moment.
But I just base it on the expectations of people. A lot of people are saying De Vries will beat Yuki Tsunoda.
Yep. I'm not going to lie. When
performing way below.
When he got the drive, I was like, he deserves it. Mm. Because based off his career.
He deserved a shot, yeah.
Yeah, he definitely deserved a shot. I completely like, he won F2 and didn't get a shot then, which is obviously like a bit criminal anyway.
Sure.
Went off, won Formula E, whatever circumstances, but at the end of the day, he's a very experienced driver. And then has tested bare different F1 cars.
Like every Mercedes powered.
Every single Mercedes powered car. You could take, probably drove the safety car at one point as well. And then came in one race, got a point in Monza, calm. It's a good track record, literally.
2 points?
Yeah. Oh, was it 2 points?
I think he finished ninth.
Oh yeah, because it was Monza, Ricciardo retired like late on.
Yeah.
Latifi got 3 points in Suzuka. No, Latifi got 4 points, I think, in Suzuka.
Yeah. Because
Williams outscored Alfa Romeo in that second half of that season.
Yeah.
But like, I remember thinking, yeah, he deserves that seat. If I'm being real, in terms of expectations, I think he has to be the most disappointing, because I don't even consider Yuki, I love Yuki, but don't consider him a top driver. Mm-hmm. I consider him a good driver, but even for the midfield, there's other drive. If you give me a team that's got to finish fifth in the Constructors' Championship, I'm probably not choosing Yuki Tsunoda as one of my drivers, to be real. Okay. But he is slapping De Vries, and De Vries has not even come close to a point. So I know that he's a rookie, but it's not like he's not driven F1 cars.
Yeah.
He's got way more experience in F1 car than Piastri does, than Sargeant does.
Yeah.
Piastri's been way more impressive in a McLaren car that struggled at times as well. I don't know. I just think for me,
Where's De Vries on your list?
He might be joint first, you know.
Yeah, I might when he's first.
He might. There's two people sharing the podium for me. And
okay, so my third, I don't know if this drive will be on yours. I think Magnussen's been pretty disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Considering Hülkenberg's just come back into this team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
I really think
qualifying again.
Qualifying
big,
is
like 6/10, I think it was.
Yeah.
Quali. Their average quali gap, I think, has been the biggest. I think I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure it's been the biggest of any two teammates.
Wow.
Like, it's significant. And yeah, I mean, Hülkenberg's putting that car in positions where, you know, it doesn't. Yes, obviously Magnussen's had his moments. Like last year, obviously Brazil was fantastic. And I think Magnussen's a great driver. But I thought it would be pretty much exactly even. And yeah, like Hülkenberg has been quite considerably more impressive when you add the context of he's just come back after, you know, 3 years without a full-time seat.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I actually kind of forgot Magnussen was even involved. Like that's how bad his season's actually been.
Yeah,
he's been back. He's been back.
You wonder though, is it because of Magnussen what he had last year as competition compared to this year? But then the point is, Hülkenberg's his first year back.
Hülkenberg's a great qualifier.
Yeah.
He's always been a great qualifier. Yeah. I mean, again, when he had the opportunity to get on the podium, maybe even win in Brazil in 2012, it was because he fucking nailed it in qualifying.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And, you know, that's always been a feather in his cap. So I think he is definitely the better qualifier than Magnussen. And I think in races, they're probably about even, but where it's so competitive at the minute, those extra few positions on average, he's starting ahead of Magnussen. He's paying dividends and he's finishing in like much stronger. And again, it's his first year at the team. So like when you add that into the mix, and he's older as well. So you'd think like, you know, Magnussen's got something to prove. He's still got time. But
is there an argument for Leclerc?
Uncomfortable conversations.
Here we go. Yeah, it's time to start a dialogue.
There's definitely an argument you could make to an extent. I think some of the mistakes he's made and him driving the way he does, and you know, he's responsible for not putting the car into a wall, and he does it too often.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Ferrari might help themselves. Miami, prime example. I mean, the car blew up in Bahrain, nothing to do with him.
Yeah, fair. And you know, the engine. For what it's worth, there are some things that have been out of his control.
But I guess, if we're thinking disappointing relative to expectations, the level of driver that most of us consider Charles to be, like, yeah, he's not reached those heights, but I couldn't put him in my top three.
I don't know. Like, I wouldn't put him in my top three, but like, even. What did Fred say this week? He said about Monaco, like, we were only 0.1 off Max Verstappen in qualifying in Monaco.
Yeah.
The car's fine. So he's basically throwing his drivers under the bus, saying basically,
faster.
Yeah, you guys just need to start stepping up.
Just drive better.
I wouldn't say, look, these guys are driving to 100% maximum, especially Leclerc. I don't think he's operating at 100%, but I feel that's because you haven't provided him the material.
Magnussen top three for him.
Magnussen's not my top three.
Is it?
There's another guy in the
Magnussen room. You know what it is? Magnussen just doesn't even deserve to be. He doesn't actually deserve to be in the conversation that's a top three of anything.
Same with the Leclerc situation. I think there is two more people that I'd throw in there before I put Leclerc in there, especially because of the caveats of the car itself, the team. I mean, I'm a McLaren fan, hardcore, and I hate Ferrari. Ferrari, but I'm bored of talking about Ferrari. I'm bored of laughing at Ferrari. It's just like at some point, even, you know, move on next. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't really be bothered to talk about Ferrari, but I have to put in second. Third was Magnussen for you, yeah?
First.
In second place for me. Have we all done threes, by the way? We all did.
Yeah.
In terms of what you were mentioning about Charles, I'm looking up Sergio Perez because he's got the fastest car on the grid. He has the fastest car on the grid. And look at what he isn't doing.
A dialogue. Look at started.
What. We have started.
If we're bringing Charles even having a conversation in this, Sergio Perez is P2 in this conversation.
No.
He's too far away. He's too far behind
Max. He won races, though. Plural.
He's too far behind Max Verstappen.
He's won two in seven. He's had stinky qualifying this time.
Can I just say, the reason why I will entertain this as a topic.
Yeah, entertain it.
I will entertain this.
No, we've got to entertain it. This is conversation, you know. We've got to entertain it.
The reason I will is because of the stinkers that he's had. What, his own fault?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Firmly.
If
we look at Leclerc and go, yeah, his engine blew up and then there was the penalties and then the team kind of stiffed him in Monaco. Calm. He's having a stinker, but, you know, it's disappointing. Sergio Perez binned in Australia at the back.
Mm-hmm.
Sergio Perez binned it in Spain. I'm Q2.
Mm-hmm.
Monaco crashed in qualifying.
Of course, yeah, I've even forgot about. Yeah, he's there. He's third.
Here's the facts. He's nearly 60 points behind Max after seven races in the same car.
We're in June.
It's unacceptable.
June makes it worse though. We even sacked off Italy.
There was no China nor Imola.
Oh, imagine there was two China races there as well.
He'd we be sacked like two races. Points behind.
Exactly. He's in the same car. Like, I'm not saying he should be ahead of Max Verstappen. I'm just saying.
Where should he be relative to Verstappen to not? Because, look, obviously, we've said this, like, Max is an alien right now. He's driving the wheels off this Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anyone in F1 can touch Max Verstappen right now. So, how close is it reasonable to expect Checo to be? I guess that's what
I'm
saying.
At this point, 30 points.
For me, sub 20, 15 points.
Like P2 every
race. So, he has to be P2 minimum. Yeah,
if he's not winning, he has to be P2.
No, we talked about this on live stream, right? If it's not. The Red Bull car is only dominant when it's in the hands of Max.
Mm-hmm.
It's not dominant in Perez's hand. Ow.
No. If two Sergio Perez's were driving for Red Bull, they'd still be leading the constructors.
Correct.
Probably.
Would it be dominant?
But it wouldn't be dominant.
Would it be massive gaps at the front?
No. You'd have had probably winning by like 8 seconds or
yeah. You'd have had a Ferrari you'd have had Aston win a race by now or something.
And look, my argument isn't that he's not fast enough. My argument is the mistakes are far too many for a team at that level.
Three in seven qualifying sessions.
We are laughing at Charles for
Charles
those,
hasn't
for
even done. That.
And he hasn't even.
Charles only binned it once, right? And that was Miami.
Yeah,
I need to work out who's out qualified him in this season, apart from Max.
Yeah,
I need to see what other cars have.
Checo's issue in Australia qualifying was a bit on the car.
That was the
car dragging forward. Yeah,
I love Checo. That's the reason I think I've put him in here. Is I love him and I want him to do well. I want him to challenge Max.
Expect more.
He's the only one that's going to fight for this title, if anybody, right?
He can't be the number two.
If you're just...
You know, yeah, he can't be the number two.
He's my number
two. Not number two. I think there's... Yeah, if you're just being outpaced by Max Verstappen, that's going to happen.
Whatever, yeah.
That's just going to happen.
But yeah, the mistakes and then him having to come through the field and not even being on the podium for this race in the Red Bull... Again, when Max is comfortably finishing, you know, 20 seconds ahead.
Did we even know Checo to be like this? That's the other thing. This is a year where it's very uncharacteristic of him.
I don't think he's been good at quali.
Not that good. Not mistakes. No, but not mistakes I'm talking about.
Ocon
battered him in 2018. He's
2018. Yeah, okay, fair enough. No, and you know, Ocon's quick as well, right? But like... I'm seeing like now the heat is on.
Yeah.
He's had a little tuffle with Max from last season.
Yeah.
And he's crumbling under the pressure.
Yeah. You've seen, there's definitely been a weakness in his performance. I feel like you've seen it in these last few races. Once that initial, like, what was the, like the, maybe Australia was the kind of.
The first thing.
That kind of got in his head a bit. I don't know.
But he came back. He bounced back in Baku.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did. Yeah. And you thought, oh, okay, here we are.
And no, that was like he won on pure pace.
Yeah. No, true.
And I'm like,
no, you're right.
It's just, obviously he's not a better driver than Max Verstappen. This is just how it's going to look, man. He's going to make you look bad.
Not,
this is what Max does. Max is out here ending careers. We've seen this, man.
Max is not making Sergio crash. Maybe the pressure.
Yeah, it's the pressure.
He's 57 points behind race 7.
All right. No, we're not talking about the elephant in the room. There's another driver we had spoke about.
Yeah, there is. And for me,
He might be finished.
Oh,
nice. I like that. Wow. He is nationality wise and ability wise finished, bro. Valtteri Bottas.
That's my number one.
He's my number one
as well.
That's
my number one.
De Vries is joint number one for me. It's a combo. They're sharing that award. But Bottas. It was interesting actually looking at the qualifying thing because it was 4-3, was it, to Bottas?
So,
or was it 4-3 to Joe? It was 4-3 either way. It's
4-3
quite
to Bottas.
4-3 to Bottas. Oh. Bottas
But I look at the race results and I look at some of the performances that Bottas has put in this season and they stink. Now, that Alfa Romeo is not great. Don't get it twisted. That Alfa Romeo is shocking. And they've got, 8 points between them?
They're both on four,
yeah, right? Okay. Bottas got 4 in Bahrain. I was kind of like, cool. All right, Alfa Romeo, they are where they usually are. They'll pick up a couple points every now and again, but they'll probably finish like 8th in the championship. But since then, Bottas has been shocking. And for me, I know Joe has had an entire season now in Formula One, but with the experience and actual ability that Bottas has, I know he got a bit of a rap whilst he was at Mercedes, but he is a very good driver. For the ability and the experience that Bottas has, he is not performing anywhere near where he should be at all.
Nowhere near.
Like, Joe peppered him today.
Today, yeah.
Peppered him. Joe finished 8th. Bottas was last, I'm pretty sure. Bar 1, maybe. Yeah. And he was like about half a minute, 40 seconds probably off Joe.
He was just, I just saw his name just dropping down the timing screens. But
I want to see if he had an issue.
I want to see what his qualifying is as well.
We have to find out if he had an issue. Did he have an issue in Saudi when he did the same thing, when he just dropped all the way back to, like... Honestly, I don't know. Maybe now he's back in the midfield. He's like, not even the midfield, right towards the back. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm in a dogfight now.
Yeah.
I wasn't like this when I was at Mercedes. I didn't have to really cope with that. I was just driving by myself while Lewis was up the road.
The thing is,
like, now we're seeing, look, he was underperforming at the end of his Mercedes stint.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
He was in the midfield. I'm like, you're in a Mercedes.
Yeah. Oh my God. Some of those last races at Mercedes from Bottas were criminal.
And it's just like carrying on.
I think
he's out for America.
The one thing I will say, is the reason why it's there's extra, to be honest, based off just pure performance, it would be De Vries for me. The added element is that Alfa Romeo need that experience. They need... That's what they signed.
You're a race winner.
Yeah. You're a race winner. You've got experience. We need you to build this. Help us build
that
this
was like
team
on,
from
the,
ground
on the
up.
Ingredients that was listed.
Yeah, facts. Yeah.
Out qualified Lewis 30% of the time over 5 years together, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Will beat that's Joe, but will teach him stuff. Yeah. Like that's what you expect him to do. You don't expect him to get beaten by 40 seconds
Mind
by
you,
a guy who made his debut a year ago.
He's not qualifying like where Hulkenberg is qualifying.
Yeah.
No.
That's what you expect from him, though.
I need Bottas to be getting Q2 every weekend.
I'm challenging that. Why
honest.
Did you expect that?
Because...
I'm challenging that.
I hear that logic, though. I hear the lack of expectation.
Yeah, I you're getting the Kimi Raikkonen Sauber, aren't you? This is what you're getting. You're getting a driver who's very much comfortable. There's no need for a fight of any
but
kind.
This is worse
Kimi's
than Kimi Raikkonen.
At the end of his career.
Kimi
but then this is worse. This
Kimi,
is worse than what Kimi Raikkonen
And Kimi
doing,
used to bring out the back
sometimes. Unreal at Williams, by the way.
Yeah.
So he proven he can do it in midfield, lower midfield, you know, take the opportunities when they present.
How long are you going back here? We're talking 6 years plus.
I think that Mercedes stint definitely... has left a lasting impact of some sort in how he...
Orange coin was
that. What year was it when he just got battered in that Mercedes? I mean, I don't know if it was 17 or 18. There was a year when he absolutely got battered. Mm. And because it's like, you know, Mercedes dominance is kind of just, it's like a lull at some point.
Yeah.
That there was a year when he was absolutely creamed. And it was like, do you know what? He's not really in, and that's why we start getting these 2.0s in the pandemic and 3.0. It became like 8.5.
We're in Australia, like all the time. Early season.
Every time before the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
I'm different.
We swear I'm different.
We know you're not.
He would win the first race, wouldn't he? He would actually win a race in the first three or whatever.
But, and again, look, there were times that Mercedes, just like now with the Red Bull, that Mercedes was only dominant in the hands of Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
It was never dominant in the hands of Valtteri. Max outscored Valtteri on numerous. Yeah. He was the Valtteri filling in the sandwich.
He's odd day once.
Yes, yeah. And I think that's what we're seeing kind of now with Checo. Mm. Like that is, I feel that's quite an equivalent.
You think so?
I see a lot of parallels.
It's not quite as bad for me, because I think there were genuine times where Valtteri was like, I mean, especially if we talk about 2020, like that
2020
was a story.
I think Bottas in the races, especially in the Mercedes, especially the last year, he was so bad. Perez tends to move forwards.
That Baku one.
Baku. But Bottas goes backwards.
Mate, even Imola, he crashed with George Russell. Yeah. Why were they even in the same place? You know what I'm saying?
The Williams of George Russell, by the way.
I guess the point is, what you've said, like with all that stuff, why were our expectations higher?
Yeah.
I do hear that logic.
That's my only argument. Don't get me wrong, he's number one on my list, but I don't have the expectations.
Like we heard a lot about him being at Mercedes, only being on like 1 year deals, kind of like carrot along. So he was fighting for his life every year to stay at Mercedes.
And then
he's got this Alfa Romeo deal, and it's like 3 years since then. Let me relax now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna chill out.
I just feel like I can understand. I understood the decision to sign Bottas from Alfa Romeo, and I think.
They were desperate. They needed something. Because they lost two drivers, didn't they?
Yeah, Joe and Kimi.
Who's leading the development on that car? Because it's not good.
No, I think...
If Bottas was there all last year, for the car to be this year, it's not good.
Again, this is another thing. Like, that's what they are. That's what they signed up for when they hired him.
Bottas leading your development? Yeah.
Well, there I mean, here we are.
They're in the trenches. They're in the trenches, though, weren't they?
We can't really, like... Even attacking him feels bad, because I'm like, well... Let's actually think about this. Should we even be, you know, should it even be the case? Like, he's not really, is he underperforming in the Alfa Romeo, genuinely speaking?
Relative to my expectations, yes.
And that's why it's not a good car.
I still feel like he showed, you don't out-qualify Lewis Hamilton, arguably the greatest to ever do it, statistically the greatest ever to do it, 30% of the time over the course of that period.
Right. And then get battered by Guanyu Zhou.
That is significant.
So now we're seeing it crystal clear, like the qualies dropped off as well. The race pace wasn't really there in general. Now the qualies dropped off as well.
Yeah. Which is why I think...
So now it's becoming more apparent to us.
I'm sorry, the racecraft has never been there for me.
No, never. Like, as soon as I saw that Baku clip, when I saw that Baku clip, I was like, this guy... I remember thinking, because I think that was after it was confirmed that he was...
Was it before? It was before, but it was...
I think it got confirmed Williams in the summer.
Because it got confirmed. It wasn't at Silverstone. It was the week after. Was it Spa?
Yeah, it was way after Baku. It was before... Yeah, Baku was before.
Conversations behind storage units.
That was crazy.
And then a Netflix camera just there.
I just remember thinking,
you do it again, please.
Wake up this time.
I just remember thinking when I saw that video the first time, I was like, this guy's going to be cooked. This guy's going to get cooked if he actually starts.
We saw him in Mexico. Hold up Max. Just went down the outside.
See you later.
This is all feeding into what you're saying, Pete. These are all reasons for us to maybe, we shouldn't have had the expectations. I shouldn't have had the expectations I did for Bottas. Mm. But on his day.
He's still my number one, man.
He would do bits. And again, first race of this year.
Yeah.
Did really well. Mm. But the consistency. Yeah, I guess. When's the last time Valtteri's been consistent? Is when he was at Williams. That's a long time ago.
Wow. His results, by the way, are 18th, 11th, 18th, 13th.
Yeah, Joe's been in the points twice.
Yeah.
And he wants for Valtteri. Yeah, look, again, I mean...
This is not good.
It's not good.
It's not looking good.
That's why he's number one. Don't get me wrong. That's why he's number one.
Joe with a couple 16ths as well, but that Alfa is poor. Maybe we've been harsh. Let's
re-go over our final three. Now we've talked about everyone, because I feel like, is there any other names that we haven't...
Who's my...
I've gone. I know my three. My three...
Yeah, I've got that.
I would...
Ooh.
I want to have a conversation soon about Gasly.
I was going to say Gasly's on the curb, but it's not time.
We're having observations.
He's been invited to the conference, but he's not.
He did.
We're setting a Simon up.
He's in the lobby area. He's not yet invited inside, but he's in the lobby.
Were you keeping an eye?
We're keeping an eye. Okay.
He's on the street. He's just outside. But then he got the penalty.
He got the penalty, yeah.
But that wasn't really his fault.
That's Gasly this year.
He's up and down. He's very up and down.
But his first year at the team.
That's why I'm giving him grace.
The other thing as well.
Okay.
Like I said, end of the season, I need to have a word.
You
can't tell me what Gasly is. That's the worst thing about it.
You know what? You're right. Like, he's not had the caliber of teammates that Ocon's had, nowhere near. I feel like I've got a much clearer idea in my mind of where Ocon is as a driver. I feel like I can speak more confidently about Ocon being underrated because you look at his.
Sorry, hang on a second. What name we've just completely blissfully been unaware to?
Is there a bait one?
Are we not going to talk about Lance? Just a little. I know we spoke about him earlier, but he's definitely in the elevator.
He's in the lobby.
He's on the way. He's been called up. Yeah, he's been called up. What? The meeting's taking place on the fourth floor. He's on the third right now in the elevator.
He's pressed the button, but he's not got the fob, so he can't.
Because remember, he's in an Aston Martin.
Bro, the standings up to Monaco, Spain hasn't been added to that, but 27 points compared to 93.
Yes.
Are we mental? That's Alonso like less on than the
podium. Alonso only on the podium, like majority of the
every
time.
Like every time bar one. Stroll obviously had a breakdown in Saudi Arabia. Not cooking. His fault. Calm. But 6th, 7th, 12th. Monaco was a disaster. He crashed twice in the same incident.
He's had better performances when he's had broken hands.
He might
hands.
Sneak third, you know, just look.
As his hand has improved,
he's getting
worse. He's going back to his old ways.
I feel that way.
Lance, more so, I feel that way with what my argument for Bottas is. I feel that much more.
There was
with
no
Lance.
Expectations.
For Lance, I have none whatsoever.
Last year wasn't too bad.
As in, when he was in the Williams and he got that podium, I was like, oh, hello, you know, maybe he might arrive.
Yeah.
But then, and then when he got the Stroll on pole, where was that? Was it Turkey in 2020, yeah. Right? I was like, oh, hello, happy days. Maybe we might see something. But then after that, it's like, he'll give me every now and again a moment of a glorious emotion, but that's about it. Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting nothing else from him. So I don't even throw him into the conversation. It's so unfair. Like in a sort of science experiment, the Stroll situation is so unfair to this Formula One grid, is that he's here, because he would not be here now. If there's no Papa Stroll, he would not be in Formula One today.
He wouldn't. If we're being real,
He would
have lost his seat in 2020 when Perez lost it. He replaced Ocon.
I'd say even before that, because how he outlasted like Sorokin and people like that.
I think Stroll's, he's very like up and down. He has purple patches.
He'll probably
have a purple patch this year, and then everybody will stop talking about him.
He's had the purple patch.
Those purple patches are enough.
It's one a year.
Keep his head above water. Just.
But he's struggling.
The purple patches are once a season.
He's got like, it's like two a floats. He's got like the...
It's like a duck.
You'd be like, oh,
calm on the surface.
You're going to see Stroll just get like a podium and everybody's going to forget about it.
Yeah.
No.
After that free DNS.
The car is fast. So we should expect it, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
The car is fast.
I wouldn't put him top three though.
You wouldn't?
Not yet.
No, listen.
I'm going... Again, for me, I'm focusing on like, who's disappointed me the most?
De Vries.
You let me down. I'm going Magnussen 3, Bottas 2, De Vries 1.
Yeah.
Because I think De Vries, given his full body of work, he's nowhere near what, you know, I was advocating just as much as anyone to be like, he deserves a shot, he deserves a chance, and he's not taking it. And he has had, like, you know, we were talking about rookies earlier, right? Yeah. Rookie today means something very different to what it meant in, you know, mid-2000s, unlimited testing. You could do an entire season's worth of test running before your first race. You weren't a rookie, not like you are now.
Yeah.
You could have so much mileage under your belt before you started. All of those tests that De Vries has done, trying all these different F1 cars of this new generation, of a previous generation, winning Formula E, winning these championships, having this experience, having raced against loads of these guys as juniors, Leclerc, Albon, like in these categories, for him to come in and just not seem to be at the races. Yes, he's out qualified Yuki a couple of times. Granted, yes, one lap pace is not so bad, but it's another really disappointing race. And again, against a Yuki Tsunoda that I don't think is the finished article by any stretch. I think he's on the way, but he's not the finished article. Mm. For me, he's been my biggest disappointment.
Yeah. Listen, De Vries, if this was school, if Formula One was school, De Vries has been taken out of classroom and said, we'll put in your report. We might exclude you. It's real
one
soon.
Of one of them.
You might get markers on him.
He's proper on him. Yellow card, mate.
He keeps on saying, look, Liam Lawson, Awasa, he's dead waiting. He's threatening him with them two names.
Yeah, because what, did he get the yellow card before Monaco or after?
Just before Monaco.
Mm.
Oh, he's dancing on ice right now.
It's quite rare, but if we do see a mid-season change, it's going to be him.
Facts, it will be.
Because that's how ruthless Red Bull.
Yeah.
Well, okay, three. What's the three then?
So my one, I said Sergeant.
Are you sticking though? Are we all sticking? So you're saying Sergeant?
I'm saying Sergeant over Magnussen. I think Sergeant's been worse than Magnussen.
I forgot who I chose third. De Vries. Yeah, man was De Vries.
I'm going to just stick strolling just because
we're stuck with three, but two and one we're happy with.
Bottas, two and one being Bottas and De Vries. Well, for me, it's calm.
My second was Checo. Sorry, Checo needs to be in this list.
Fine.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, that's blessed, man.
Checo's number two.
We've all got our own list, so...
Yeah. Oh, we'd have to come up with
No. It's not a collective list. It's all our like, individual list.
Yeah. Three, De Vries, two, Checo, number one, Bottas.
Boom.
Boom. Yep.
Take that. We'll take that. Okay. Well, let us know in the comments below as well. If you're watching along, what would be your three if you're watching on YouTube? What are your three most disappointing? Again, it's relative to your expectations, so that's why it's always going to be different. Not just the three worst necessarily. Right, let's wrap. Thank you for listening, watching, wherever you are in the world. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on TikTok.
Jeez.
Twitter. Where else? What other good... digital platforms.
Yeah, man. Well, we're available on your old BBM account.
What's the pin?
We're there. The pin, that's in the description. We're there. WhatsApp voice messages.
Really old Hotmail account.
Oh, yeah.
You've not used it. You boys had a really embarrassing email account. My first one was carddude33.
Mentor. Yeah. It's not going to get worse than that, bro. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
I know.
I think I had like Cricklewood Player at AOL or something like that, or at Hotmail, one of those MSN ones. And I was like, yeah. I didn't play anyone.
I don't think I had my name and that's it.
Yeah.
Professional from young.
Yeah, man.
Sending the CV at 13 on MSN.
Boys, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Yeah, again. Always a pleasure to have you two on. Again, McLaren Fan TV, where can they find you?
McLaren Fan TV, go.
Yes, on Instagram, on Twitter, on YouTube, every Tuesday, 7 PM UK time, live on the YouTubes.
Yeah.
YouTubes.
And if you want to see the best Royal Rumble F1 debate platform, Pit Stop Racker.
Yeah.
At Pit Stop Racker, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, everything.
I need to come on sometime. Yeah. I need to make that happen.
Yeah. I'm going to make it happen. We're having some juicy debates on there.
Ooh.
Interestante.
I want to be involved. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
See you next time.
Bye, yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.